What's going on, FA Nation? John Pemba here with James Grandi. Welcome into the Fantasyland NBA DFS podcast and live stream recording here for Tuesday's six-game main slate. James, we are here on a Tuesday with multiple teams on a back-to-back. We are still without key players on this slate. Kyrie Irving was traded to Dallas, so he is not part of the Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn here is on the back-to-back. We saw Cam Thomas last night go off for 47 points. He's now had games of 44 and 47 points in back-to-back games. It's only he and LeBron James, apparently, the youngest two players to score consecutive 40-plus point games in back-to-back games. His reply to that was, "I would have been more excited if it was Kobe. I am a Kobe fan." So, despite being in the name, the ilks of greatness there with LeBron, still on this slate against Phoenix, should be pretty interesting to see where his rostership finds itself. You have LeBron James on this slate at home against the Thunder. The Thunder also are on a back-to-back here. You have Nikola Jokic at the top. Did not play the other day. Has this spot here against Minnesota. Again, for six games here, there's a lot of top guys. It'll be some pretty interesting roster builds.
Yeah, and I think we should just start this pot off by saying, get out of the way now. LeBron is 35 points away from the all-time record.
Yep.
He has a game tonight, as we mentioned, versus OKC. But then he has Thursday night at home against Milwaukee. Both are TNT games. You know, Will played for the Milwaukee Bucks. Played for the Milwaukee Bucks and the Lakers. Yeah. Like, it's just a storybook type of thing. Tickets, John, are being sold for $100 tonight. They're being sold. Ticket low is $419 for Thursday.
Yeah.
Vegas odds are all on Thursday night, breaking the record. But it is worth mentioning, like, 35 is in the bag for LeBron. This is a guy averaging 30 points per game. So we could get a vintage LeBron performance tonight.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Jim Bowden asked me if I thought that LeBron James would intentionally fall shy of the 35 points here tonight. And I said no.
Never.
He wants to win basketball games. If it is a close competitive game and the Lakers need him to score to win, he will score to win. He's not going to withhold scoring to crack it on Thursday, in my opinion. So,
yeah, I mean, like, it's a storybook if he breaks it on Thursday. And I'm sure, like, that would be cool. But, like, if he's feeling it, what, is he just not going to play the fourth quarter tonight? Or if he, like, it's just, he's going to break it. He's still nationally televised. It's still at home in L.A. He might as well just go out and score 40 tonight and
right,
ruin everyone's bets. But that is, I think, the storyline of the slate. The other storyline, Devin Booker returning from injury.
He's going to be on a minutes limit.
On the limit. Everyone from Denver is expected to play. Ben Simmons is expected to play tonight. I would say the biggest news we're waiting on is probably RJ Barrett. If I had to just quickly look up and down the injury report, I think RJ Barrett's probably the one. Other than that, there's like not a lot of value, which we'll get into. But
yeah, we know what happens if Barrett's out. We've seen Randall and Brunson have monster games without Barrett in the lineup. So.
And quickly probably goes back into the starting lineup. That game has a 225.5 total. Orlando getting 1.5 points at home. Brooklyn getting 6 in a 225 total against Phoenix. Let's see. The slate high is Lakers OKC 239. Lakers 6.5 point favorites there. Memphis a solid 233 or 235.5, giving the Bulls 8.5 points. The movement in New Orleans, Atlanta has been the biggest of the day. Opened at 234.5. It's now 237. New Orleans, 1-point favorites at home. Minnesota, Denver, 233.5. Denver, 9-point road or home favorites.
I think Vegas got some people last night. You know, we broke down that Cleveland-Washington point spread. And
nightmare.
We're like, this doesn't make any sense. If Cleveland is going to be in this game fully healthy, no one's sitting, this should be like an 8-point spread and not a 2-point spread, especially when Kuzma and Beal were already ruled out. The spread eventually moved to 3.5 after the starting lineup came out. But, I mean, they won by 24 or something like that, right? I don't know if you follow any of the betting streets out there, but there's a lot of these things called ladder challenges going around. You know, basically you take a starting point and then you bet the winnings pretty much every single night. And after 10 bets, depending on what your wagers are, you can get up to X amount of money. There was a guy that I was following, that was doing his 10 days to $10,000. And he was 9 for 9 going into last night. He took the Wizards plus 3.
Oh,
for 10 grand.
No.
And I was like, oh boy, you know, that is, because you're looking at that line, you're like, Cleveland's got to be sitting everybody tonight, right? Like, you know, why else would it be the 2 points? And in that case, I wouldn't have made that bet until the starting lineup came out.
Right.
But he locked that ticket in before, and that game was never close. So
never.
Tough.
Never.
Tough day to go to lose the 10 grand challenge there. But anyways, different story for a different day. We're looking at DFS. Let's jump into the point guard position here. Your top price guard is at $10,800 is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He only had 26 fantasy points last night. I was very hesitant to put him in the playbook yesterday. I did write him up, but I was pretty strong in the podcast and in the write-up being like, I would prefer to play Dame. I didn't really like the price for SGA because he needed to like really hit that ceiling. And now we got a $100 price bump. I know it's a different slate. There are different options. I still just don't want to pay this number for Gilgeous-Alexander here tonight.
And I'll take the opposite side again. I still don't have a problem with it. I would say the biggest issue, I think, paying up tonight in general is the lack of value because most teams are at full strength. This feels to me, after like an initial look, like a fair and balanced type of build tonight. But the Lakers are a very bad defensive team, even with Anthony Davis back. They play really fast, and I'm not going to hold it against Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for one bad game because he's been tremendous all year. He's averaging 31, 5, and 6 with 2 steals essentially this year, all rounded up, of course, to make my argument better. But if you can find the value, I have no problem getting to Shai in tournaments.
Yeah, that's fine. You're looking at this slate. To me, again, it's all about, you know, what does he need to get us to win a GPP at that price point? 60 fantasy points. Sure, he can do it. You know, 5x at his price point, those is going to be 55, 54 fantasy points. You listed what his averages are. That only comes out to about 50 fantasy points. So, need a ceiling game out of him, for me really to get that 6 type X type upside. You know, if it was a different slate, maybe I consider it. But when you have Jokic here against Minnesota, we love, you know, we laugh at the history of him versus Gobert and the stories that have been told before, and we'll see if Gobert is healthy or not for this matchup here. But you know, if I'm spending up, I know the Joker for $800 more could go for 90, you know, and that's kind of where I sit spending up for SGA here. John Morant's at 10-3, similar to my sentiments, you know, if Desmond Bane was out, I think it would be a different story. I know against Portland and Indiana, he popped off for 72 and 63. He has a little bit more of a consistent ceiling, I think we've seen, but still, 10-3, maybe you like the game environment here a little bit more against Chicago, but it's still not my favorite spot.
Another guy I have no problem getting to if we can find value, because again, there's not a lot of value as of this recording. It's going to be hard to spend up on the guys, but 34.8% usage, 1.6 fantasy points per minute this year without Steven Adams. Like, if he plays a full complement of minutes, that's been the best part about Ja lately. He's playing big minutes. Like, we were worried about Ja earlier in the year where it's like, well, he's only playing 30, 31 minutes. And yes, that happened last game, but there was a blowout. Look at the games prior, 34, 42, 38, 35, 37, 34, 33. Like, the minutes have been a key contributor to Ja's production increase. And let's be honest, like, no Steven Adams, the rebounds have skyrocketed.
Yeah, so crazy, right? 10, 10, 9, and 8 the last 4 games. So Listen, I agree. I feel a little bit better about Ja because I've seen, feels like more consistent high ceiling games from him than SGA, who's more expensive than he is. And this game, I think, against Chicago is kind of an interesting one. Also, like Memphis being at home here, we'll get the Triple J a little bit later. but he still hasn't missed the block steals prop at home yet since all that came out. So we'll see what happens there. Trey Young at $9,400 gets the Pelicans here. Brunson's at $85. McCollum is at $8K, is kind of your next tier here. And Jamal Murray, not to discount him, at $82 as well.
I like Trey kind of in tournaments. I like that Atlanta-New Orleans game quite a bit. I think the best play of the slate is in this game, as a little teaser. And being Trey Young, but I do like Trey in tournaments. Jalen Brunson obviously pops if there's no RJ Barrett. I don't think I'll play him at 85 with a healthy Barrett, but you could. Jamal Murray's been incredible.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't want to play, like, if we don't find value and we can't get to Jokic, why not just play Jamal Murray, who's going
underpriced? He's underpriced.
Right, he's underpriced. Yeah. I mean, 62, 54, 48. This is like,
it's not even that. He's gone over 40 now in 10 of 11
games or so.
5, 6, 7, 8. 7 of the last 8 games, he's gone over 40 fantasy points.
Right. So he's gonna have 5x or better, and then he's now giving
you ceiling games, right?
Ceiling games 3 in a row. Yeah, and this is a great, it's a great matchup. So
yeah,
I mean, I think
dude's a stud. This is playoff Jamal Murray from a few years ago. So.
Yeah, bubble Murray for sure. This is the bubble version.
Yep, like that call a lot. He's only going to continue to rise up the price points there. Again, I think CGM works in game stacks here. You know, Ingram's back, so maybe we don't have the ceiling. The 11 shot attempts, you know, not great there against Sacramento. That's true. 23 minutes, 11 shot attempts. That's fine.
Dude, that was a rant. Like, not only did he only play 23 minutes, it was like 11 in the first half.
Yeah.
For no reason. They were just like, you know what? Have a good time. And then he got in foul trouble, and then they were up by a million, and it was like, yep. All right, dude.
Right. He's not taking 20 shot attempts anymore, I guess. No. Was the point I was trying to work my way around to. Trey Murphy had like 30 actual in that game.
Yeah, it was. I mean, there was no Ingram, and you would like CJ was like no. It was no Valanciunas, no Ingram, and you're like, holy cow, this is the best play ever. And then he just doesn't play minutes. And you're like, oh, okay, that's cool.
Hernan Gomez did though.
He sure did. He sure did.
Mid tier guys here. CP3 with Booker back. Any down?
There's not like a drop off per se, but like, what is the expectation for offense? I know Booker's going to be limited, but
better than over 7, probably.
That's probably correct. We can only hope it's
over
better.
7 against Detroit. Yeah,
that's brutal. That's a brutal beat.
D'Angelo Russell's at 74. We keep saying it, like, just you can just play him right now. I mean, sure, Sacramento game, 40 minutes, 25 fantasy points, kind of a letdown, but everything around that's been fantastic. So,
yep.
Really good price point for him there. And then you mentioned we get into this 5K range. I'm just going to skip Westbrook. I think he's too pricey.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
You know, Fultz is 58. Quickly is 54. Cam Thomas, point guard eligible still at 52. You know, Sumner's at 41. A little price drop on Sumner
drop.
Here.
Big drop. Yep.
You know, going to be in a spot there for him. Who sits for Ben? It can't be Cam Thomas at this point.
Yeah, there you go.
There's too many Camerons and Cams in my brain. can't be Cam Thomas at this point. That guy's not sitting for anybody. Is it Royce O'Neal? Like, do they move him back to point guard Ben Simmons and Sumner sits? Like, how do you think they handle this now?
Well, also, we don't know the statuses of Dinwiddie and Dorian Finney-Smith.
True.
So they're not even on the slate. There's also rumors that Brooklyn is trying to flip Dinwiddie. So will they even play Dinwiddie? Like, I don't know what the plan is going to be. Like, let's play out hypotheticals. Let's say they don't play. My assumption is Claxton for sure. Sumner, I would say think he starts at point guard.
Thomas has to keep playing.
Thomas has to start if he's playing this well. Simmons, O'Neal. That would be my guess. Because yeah, Joe Harris has not been good,
yeah,
really. So my assumption would be Harris to the bench. Obviously, everything is in question if, like, Finney Smith is playing tonight. Because Finney Smith is going to start. There's no question he's starting. At that point, I would think Ben Simmons might even come off the bench. I don't know. Maybe that's
he's probably going to be limited too when he's come back from these knee things. Yeah. Like, he plays 20 minutes. So
what do you think if you had to guess? Like, what do you think Cam Thomas ownership is going in? if he's 50%, starting? We get the lineup.
50%.
He was 35% last night.
Yeah, I think 50% tonight because he's not going to come off the floor, and no matter what happens, blowout, he plays. Yeah. Either way, he's on the floor. So
and if you're, I mean, he scored 44. And this is why sometimes we talk about, like, matchups not meaning anything. Kawhi and Paul George were on the other side of the floor, and he scored 47.
Yeah, he'll get a lot of bridges probably tonight, but, I mean, you know, or he's still going to be, you know, it's still going to be his spot. So
from what I'm seeing, he is currently the second highest projected on play of the slate.
Mm-hmm.
And I teased who I think the best play of the slate is, without looking at the ownership, and he's number one. So we'll get there soon. But I think of the tier, it's clearly Cam Thomas of this tier. And then you're right. If Sumner's starting, dude, at 4,100,
yeah,
how do you not just lock that in too?
Yep, I agree. They don't play Bones Highland anymore. They're just going to trade him. Zero minutes the other day when everybody was out. So can't trust that. Okay. We liked Jalen Suggs the other day, but he only played 15 minutes. He still gave you 24 fantasy.
He got ejected.
Okay. Oh, right, right. That was that game. Right. Okay.
Him and Mo Bamba off the bench just started
started fighting people. all right. So I go back to Jalen Suggs then. I forgot he got ejected in that game. Mm-hmm. $3,600 on a slate where there's no value that we're looking at. I'll play some Jalen Suggs tonight.
I'm going to look at Popcorn Machine real quick and see how many minutes, like, he potentially lost out on, right? Orlando, Minnesota. So he...
Did he miss a game already? Because he was suspended for one game.
He missed a game.
Okay.
That was the game they started... I think he missed a game.
Have they played since Saturday? Have they played since Friday, Orlando?
Yeah, I think that was the Paolo Banchero chalk game where he let everyone down.
They have, the 5th. They played on the 5th. Fultz had 30 fantasy points that game. So,
So Suggs played only a 2-minute shift in the second half before he got their out.
Yeah, so great. 16 minutes in the first half.
He played 14 minutes in the first half. So if he's playing 14, he's taking Cole Anthony's role essentially right now. So I'm with you. We do not have value. Like, there's not. RJ Barrett would open that up. And obviously we know there's potentially other people getting ruled out, like Gobert or whatever, but
I think Jalen Suggs is the value we're looking at here tonight.
Yeah, probably.
All right, let's go to shooting guard unless you have somebody else.
Nope, this is shooting guard as we go.
Okay. Anthony Edwards is up to 10K.
Yeah, not paying that price.
Can't do Booker on the limitation. DeJounte at 92.
No.
Zach.
I mean, like, tournaments, but, like, it's we're basing that price off his last game. That
I mean,
was
67, 42, 36, 55. Last four for him. You got Zach LaVine at $8,300. Again, only 24-3 against San Antonio the other night.
Well, that's because Andre Drummond had the game of his life last night.
Yeah.
Dude, him, Andre Drummond and Nikola Vucevic combined for 100 fantasy points.
I mean, we talked about how good that matchup was for centers.
100 fantasy points between Vuce and Drummond.
Yeah. I was kicking myself because, again, his assist prop Vucevic was 3.5. He keeps going over. So
he did it in 24 minutes last night.
Yeah.
That was how much he played.
Yep. He would have killed it again. I would imagine his assist prop is over 3.5 tonight.
Yeah, probably.
But because he's just been hitting it too consistently.
The Bulls are all the same. They're all like, pick your one of the three and good luck out there.
Yep. 29 minutes for Giddey last night because of the blowout. Still had 37 fantasy points, so we know he can pop. Desmond Bane did pop against Toronto. 10 of 17 shooting, 45 fantasy points. He's at $7,600 there. You got Brandon Ingram.
Probably best play the slate. He's the best play the slate. Best play the slate.
Yeah. I mean, we were all in on him against the Lakers and Dallas.
Best play the slate. And why is he 7,100, John?
Why did he go from 76 to 71 to 69? Yeah,
he's the best. He's the first player we should lock into our lineup.
I'll just, fine. I'll hit the button. I have no problem.
No problem. The minutes. The minutes are there.
I'm going to put Jalen Suggs in there as well because I think those are two guys we're playing. So.
Yeah, that's fine because we need value.
Suggs and Ingram in the lineup locked in.
Dude, the minutes are there. The shots are there. The everything is that, like, he is a 9K player. There's no Zion. There's no Zion. What are we doing?
The biggest question is going to be, do you play Anthony Davis or do you play Nikola Jokic today? Because Anthony Davis went for 70 fantasy points. Really he's cheap. At 10-5, right? So, like,
yeah, I know.
We'll figure out what happens when we get the center today. But I'm with you there. Ingram at 71 is great. Yeah, Franz, Royce O'Neal, Bogdan. Don't love a lot of this. I think Cam Thomas is a guy you probably have to lock in as your other guard here today.
Probably, yeah.
Just for pure ownership standpoint.
Here's another situation where last night I wish some of the guards were forwards.
Right.
Same thing again tonight. It's like
Cam Thomas is a small forward on FanDuel, I think. I think he's shooting guard small forward. Branham is a small forward only on FanDuel.
That would be really nice if we had that eligibility on DraftKings because we've locked four guys and they're all guards. Two on the same team, Ingram guard, Suggs guard. Like,
yeah. Who are the two on the same team we locked in?
Well, potentially locking in, depending on how Brooklyn's starting lineup falls, like Sumner, Cam Thomas, like just both too cheap.
Other guys here in this mid tier range, again, Quickly's at 54. We would probably play him if there's no Brunts or no Barrett rather.
Yep, probably.
Anthony's at 5K, but we talked about it. We like Suggs here more. For sure. It's given the price points. I mean, I don't know. Is there a value down here that you even consider at this point?
Yeah, I would consider Quentin Grimes if Barrett's out. Okay. He's been okay. Like
Gary Harris is getting the minutes, but he kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's not the same Gary Harris as he was in Denver. I think Grimes like is Gary Harris on steroids almost. Sure. Like he's gonna play 40 minutes and at least give you somewhat of a floor at 4,800. I don't love the price point, but he has been decent. Jalen Noel had a really good game, but that was in a blowout. Can we trust that again? I don't think so, but like Denver also could blow him out if there's no Rudy Gobert.
Right.
Or with Rudy Gobert, it could blow him out. So that's probably it. And then, you know, what do the Knicks do if Barrett's out? I mean, they played McBride a lot. They played Fournier a lot last game.
I saw that Fournier got random minutes all like out of nowhere.
But that was because they scratched Barrett like
After
Locke. After Locke. So like,
and he fouled out of that game too, which is funny.
Yeah. So like, you know, there is potential value for the Knicks. I think Quickly is clear cut the best of the bunch, but like Grimes would be in play, McBride would be in play, and Fournier would all be in play if Barrett didn't.
Yep. All right. Small forward. We have LeBron at 11-2.
Ooh, small forward only now. Yep. That's the Rui Anthony Davis effect right there.
Yeah. So LeBron James, small forward only at 11-2. DDR still at $8,800 again. Not a great game for him last night, but you mentioned all the centers did all the work. $8,800 against Memphis here. Banchero at $7,500 again. I do kind of like.
Yeah, it's a good price.
This price for him. Now he's been cheaper lately, but he was also too cheap when he was under 7K. He was probably
not making shots, dude.
Yeah, he was too expensive when he was in the 8K range. Yeah. So 75 is a good. The rebounds are great. The assists are good. One steal in every game now for like eight straight games.
Make some shots.
So I don't mind 75 taking a shot on him there. But again, after that, like I don't know. I mean, Troy Murphy maybe 53 again. But you said everybody was out for that game.
Yep.
You know, he was okay with everybody healthy. You have Jalen Williams. You know, we only really like playing Bruce Brown when guys are out of the lineup here. Mm-hmm. Cam J has got to deal with Booker being back. I mean, I don't know. Is there a small forward that you're looking at? You're like, yeah, this is the one. This is the play.
I don't think so. I think you're pretty much right. Like, maybe it might just come down to like who you think is going to be on the floor. Like DeAndre Hunter, someone that you talk about a lot, is going to play 30 plus minutes.
Yeah. Honestly, it's probably DeAndre Hunter.
It's probably DeAndre Hunter. I think it's really hard to project Cameron Johnson right now because Monty Williams pretty much came out and said like they rushed him back. When he originally came back, they ramped up his minutes too fast. But then he also said if he doesn't play enough, he's rusty. So like, what do you need him to do? Do you need him to play more or do you need him to play less? Because both those things you said don't correlate with one another. So
yeah,
it's really hard to trust that healthy Pelicans team. Like you can play Herb Jones, but you know, he could be a zero offensively.
DeAndre Hunter has actually been really good. If you want to just look at his current price compared to recent production, you have, you know, a rounding of course, but you know, 6x last game against Denver, 40 fantasy points against Utah is an 8x return at 52 pretty much. You had 5x against Phoenix. He had a bad game against Portland. They are only 15 fantasy points. But then a 6x, a 7x, a 6x. Like, he's mispriced at $5,200. And I was screaming this 3 years ago about DeAndre Hunter. It feels like 2 years ago before the injury. So, and I know we always go back and forth because you're like, where is he on the shooting totem pole right now?
It's right.
Definitely behind Young and definitely behind DeJounte. But, like, Is he ahead of John Collins now?
Yeah, or, John Collins is just...
Right? Like, so I think DeAndre Hunter at 52 on this slate specifically is probably a core play.
Yeah, I mean, slate specific, I like him here. You can also, it doesn't hurt that he's multi-position eligible too. Yeah. Like, you can use him at small forward or power forward. That gives you four different spots you can use him at, especially on a slate with not a lot. I will say, like, the Denver game, there was no Trae Young, so... That, take that with a little grain of salt, but he was great in the Utah game with the starters. So like Hunter, Young, Capella, Murray, Collins, he has a significantly higher usage rate than both Collins and Capella, which I think doesn't really shock us. 19%, only slightly behind DeJounte, 0.8 fantasy points per minute. So like not elite, but like if you get 25 fantasy points from Hunter, which he's giving you, I mean, six of the last seven games, yeah. Right? One game excluded there, Portland, he shot 3 of 14. And that was actually without Trae Young because I played him that night at like 1%. It's been very consistent. Yeah. So barring like a late scratch somewhere.
And I mean, the Phoenix game, right? They lost by 32. He had 25 fantasy points in 25 minutes.
Right.
So...
He's on the floor. He's going to be productive. And there's not a lot to like. Like, if Kyle Anderson sits, I think that opens up value, too. Like,
yeah, who brought those minutes there? Matt Ryan started
they
started the second
yeah,
half.
They started Matt Ryan, but Torian Prince played a bunch of minutes.
26
so I think,
minutes, yeah.
I think Torian Prince and McDaniels would be both, like... But, like, is McDaniels... This doesn't feel like a spot McDaniels stays out of foul trouble. Michael Porter, Aaron Gordon,
yeah.
Jokic attacking the rim. Like, is he going to stay out of foul trouble? Do they put him on Murray? You know, because they've done that at times. So I would definitely have some interest in Torian Prince.
I don't know if you've noticed, but we've gotten a minutes bump on Jonathan Isaac. He played 11 minutes the other day.
Hell yeah. Maybe we'll get 13. He is out there.
16 fantasy points in 11 minutes, 14 fantasy points in 10 minutes. Unleash our boy.
You know? I feel like when we come back from the All-Star break, we're going to get like
somebody gets moved 20. From Orlando on Thursday, right?
Has to. They just have
too many forwards.
They have too many rotational pieces.
Bowles probably going to get moved first to somewhere, right?
Like they get traded all the time.
They just have too many guys. They have too many
RJ
guys.
Hampton seems like he could be traded. Right. Suggs. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of Gary Harris could be a good rotation piece for somebody out there.
Yeah.
There's
too many. They drafted too well, I guess. Maybe I don't know. Like they have.
Well, they traded for Suggs.
Yeah.
They traded for Bol Bol.
Right.
They traded for
RJ Hampton, but they got RJ Hampton and Gary Harris in the Aaron Gordon trade.
Yep.
They got Wendell Carter for Vucevic.
They drafted Cole Anthony. They got Fultz in a trade.
Yeah.
They traded for Wendell Carter. So they've drafted the last 2 years, Banchero, Franz. They drafted
Suggs, but They drafted Suggs the year after they drafted Cole Anthony. So it's like they're just stacking.
And Mo Bamba, they drafted who didn't pan out for what they hoped for.
All right. So other small forwards are done here. Lonnie Walker's back, but not playing enough minutes to matter.
No, and Austin Reeves is coming back tonight. So
Austin Reeves coming back.
That rotation is going to be a nightmare.
Yeah. What did Matt Ryan play for minutes there? Anything
like
good?
15. Yeah, it was 14, like 15 yeah. minutes. And I think, I mean.
If he starts, would you play Matt Ryan at 3K?
Probably not. Okay. I don't know. I'd probably still feel like they would give Torian Prince more
run. Did Jalen Noel benefit from Kyle Anderson being out? Did they shift up Ann Edwards?
That's the hard thing. It was a blowout. So, like, what was the actual. Let's look at what the actual minutes were. When was that Minnesota game?
Fifth.
The fifth. Okay. Game flow.
Because there was a run there where Kyle Anderson was hurt.
Yeah, Kyle Anderson. True. So he didn't play after the 6 minute mark in the second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Ryan played 10 minutes in the third quarter and then didn't check in until the final 4 minutes when it was a blowout.
Okay.
So we saw Torian Prince check in for Matt Ryan and then, well, I guess he technically checked in for Jaden McDaniels.
Who checked in for Kyle Anderson when he left that game?
Who checked in for Kyle Anderson? Anthony Edwards.
Was Jalen Noel already on the floor?
Jalen Noel...
I'm basically trying to see, did they
was play, on the floor.
Did they play a Russell Noel Edwards lineup is what I'm looking for.
Jalen Noel played the final 15 minutes of the game. So he got blowout run.
Okay.
Torian Prince checked in right after Kyle Anderson got hurt, like a minute after.
Yeah.
And he played 4 minutes, the final 4 minutes of third. He played 12 minutes in the second half. Could have been 16 if that game was competitive. He checked out at the 4 minute mark. So it still feels like Torian Prince. And it feels like Noel got blowout run because you also factor in Jordan McLaughlin was back last game.
Oh, true.
Didn't play a lot. But it is worth mentioning. If you think this game blows out, Jalen Noel, we know, is a tournament dart, but like hard to predict a blowout.
I agree with you. All right, power forward then. Randall's at 10-2. I like it. I mean, I definitely like it. And if Barrett's out, I mean, we saw Randall No Barrett 70, 60 fantasy point games. So, you're looking at this slate here today where, you know, we talk about paying up for Joker, but AD gave you almost 70 and he's under 11K and a Barrett, no Barrett Randall performance, you know, was giving us 60, 70 fantasy points there. So I'm kind of interested here in Julius Randle. If Barrett plays, do you have any interest in Randle at 10-2?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a tournament play with Barrett. We know he has a ceiling, especially when the three ball's falling early, like it's going to be a big game for Julius Randle. I feel like he is like the best first quarter producer, or at least when he's going good, he's producing the first quarter. You're like, holy cow,
yeah,
I'm going to win all the money. It's hard to ignore the numbers without Barrett and Mitchell Robinson this year. 32% usage, team leading 1.4 fantasy points.
Yeah, he's been an absolute monster. So if Barrett sits against Orlando, I think Randall's going to be a pretty popular
potential play. Yeah, it's interesting because how are you getting to Jokic and how are you getting
well, that's,
to
the So guys that's where now? I'm kind of wondering, like, do you think fair and balance is the way to go today? You know, you're looking for the ceiling, right? So, like, we did last night with Jason Tatum a little bit, where it's like, okay, these guys are out. Tatum can give you what Giannis can give you in a sense, right? Giannis, of course, can go for 90. Tatum, we've seen, go for 70. But last night, that pivot down worked, right? They scored the same. You know, Joker can go for 70, sure. But we've seen Randall go for 60. Right. We've seen Andy Davis go for 70. So that to me, that's a spot where you're looking at no Barrett and the production we got out of Randall, and you're like, all right, I can save $1,400 on a slate where it's not that great and play Randall comfortably. or jam in, you know, Joker and figure out where to go from there. So maybe you're right. Maybe it'll be contrarian. Tatum was, what, 25% last night, I think, or something
like
that?
Yeah, he was a little higher owned in the $40 single entry, but yeah, around that price point.
Yeah. So again, Randle 10-2, I do like it a lot. Jaren Jackson at home, we've talked about it. He's averaging 8 more fantasy points per game at home. there's the whole blocks and steals Reddit thread, which, you know, the NBA debunked, supposedly, being like there's, you know, a bunch of people that look at this and blah, blah, blah. Sure, we know that he's an elite shot blocker, but also he's averaging double the amount of blocks and steals
crazy.
Than he is away. Maybe he likes sleeping in his own bed. I don't know. you worry about fouls here, though, you know, against Vucevic. And, you know, Pat Williams isn't going to get him in foul trouble, but, you know, Vuk could blunder him a little bit. So, but a great spot. You would like him better probably with no Bane. But the rebounds have been great. The blocks have been great. He's missing all of his threes. If those ever hit, he could give you a 50-point game like he did against the Pacers, maybe. But anyway, 7,300 tournament play. We don't mind that one there. Aaron Gordon, if he's active at 66, any interest in that one?
Probably not. There's the occasional ceiling games, but like it is just a thin position. We talked about it. It's like I feel like I would even I don't know if Ben Simmons is on a limit, but like if they came out and said no limit for Ben Simmons, what would you think? They were like no limit. He could play as many minutes as. It's like the same Aaron Gordon.
I think I'd just play Larry Nance.
Or Hachimura.
No, I wouldn't even play Hachimura. I'd probably just play Larry Nance.
Yeah, you can't. I don't think you can play Hachimura. He'll play plays 19 minutes.
I was going to say, I clicked on him and they came back and he's not playing much. So I think Larry Nance is probably. Aldama isn't playing.
He started for Dylan Brooks, who's back.
Right.
He's not gonna.
He's been really good though. They should consider it. They should give
if,
it a look.
Look, you're right. And if that were to be the case, like if Aldama started over Dylan Brooks, if we got that news at what time is that game? That's
8:00.
If we got that news, then it is value. We also might get news that Gobert's out, and then you can play Naz Reid, and you're like, oh, okay, that's. I know the Jokic foul trouble is looming, but like we know what Naz Reid's numbers are without Gobert. Yeah. If Aldama's starting, I would consider it. Because Dylan Brooks is just annoying, right? Like he's a subpar 3-point shooter. He's a pest. Is he not just like Patrick Beverley with braids? Or like a taller Patrick Beverley?
Yeah. There were moments early in his career where he flashed like he could have been something. But
he
then John Morant
kind
of just exploded. And then Desmond Bane was just better. So, like, he just kept falling down the rotation. So,
I agree, though. If there was a situation where Aldama's in the starting lineup, because then.
Otherwise, I think I'm just playing Larry Nance here. $5,100.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, listen, I know what the minutes are, and they're frustrating, but he's very productive. He's just very productive. 20 minutes. I mean, I know blowout against Sacramento, 20 minutes there, 9 rebounds. 24 minutes against the Lakers, 10-9. Dallas, I mean, you're looking at the numbers here. Guy hasn't gone for less than 20 fantasy points in the last 6 games.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, we just know what the split is going to be 24 and 24, 25, 23. Like, he's just splitting center minutes with Valanciunas. So.
Yep.
And then. Again, it's just
even when Valanciunas out, he didn't get an extra run. So like,
and that was also again blowout. So I think, you know, he lost out on some production there. Minnesota guys again, you could play him in power forward if Kyle Anderson's out.
Did Kessler Edwards play a lot last night?
He played not a lot. They didn't play. They pretty much played their starters
because they're saying TJ Warren's is a rest candidate for today.
For the back-to-backs, yeah.
Warner
I would
played 11 minutes, so. I mean, I would it's something say, to watch, right? If they sit some of the veteran guys here. I know Ben Simmons is expected to return, but I don't know. If, like, Joe Harris sits and Royce O'Neal sits or something like that, you know, Warren sits. They called him back up from the G League, so he's at least on the bench.
Yuta's been playing 20 minutes a night as well.
Okay, yeah, so could get behind maybe a little Yuta.
It's just the unknown of who's playing for Brooklyn tonight. Because if Finney Smith plays, it doesn't even matter about the other teams, like any of those guys.
You read anything into Dario Saric? Couple games, double double against Boston.
And he's projected to be high owned, and that just speaks to no value, right? That just speaks to the fact that there's no value. I think it didn't hurt Saric that Torrey Craig's been like playing more with Devin Booker out, and now you move Torrey Craig back to the bench. Does Torrey Craig now absolve all Saric minutes, or has Saric just played himself into like a role, right? Okay. Cameron Johnson is playing what? That's the again another unknown. Like if Cameron Johnson gets to 30 minutes and Booker's playing 25, and now Craig is the backup four.
Yeah, I guess how many minutes does Sarge play? Right, because that starting lineup is going to be Paul, Booker, Bridges, Johnson, Eaton.
And now that moves Craig to the bench. So like, what are they doing with Craig and Sarge minutes? We know that between Landale and Biombo, they're playing the backup run. Like figure out who's the guy. Like backing up Ayton, good luck. But like Saric is only playing back of four.
Yep, I agree with you. All right, let's go to center. We have Joker here against Minnesota at 11-6. Two games against them, he's averaging almost 60 fantasy points. We talked about that before. Didn't play obviously last game. He had 69 fantasy points, 31-11-13 in the most recent game that he played against Minnesota. Both games against Minnesota have been rather competitive, but he only went for 24-7-9 in that first meeting. Again, he's Nikola Jokic here. I'm not going to argue if you want to play him.
Right.
But, I mean, Anthony Davis he's back to being Anthony Davis here. So
not projected to be rostered at all. And I think that's probably due to, like,
people think LeBron's going to do LeBron things.
Yeah, and it looks like people are playing Jokic, which, again, I don't understand. But I don't understand because that means you're playing guys like Dario Saric in your lineup.
You're definitely – I mean, if we were to put Jokic – so as of now, I have Suggs, Ingram, Hunter, and Cam Thomas in our lineup. With Joker, it's 5,700 a player, so it's not
terrible. It's doable. It's doable. Davis in a really good spot. Not that Jokic isn't. Jokic doesn't need a good spot to be amazing.
Yeah. But like I said, like we were pre-injury Anthony Davis, we were like losing our minds.
Dude, he was the best form he's ever, like his best form ever.
Right? And like even with LeBron James back, he was still giving you like 70 fantasy points. And then 63 and 58 the last two. Like I'm in, you know. I guess the question is like, do the Thunder on a back-to-back, can they run with the Lakers here the way that, you know, the talent is?
They're good against the spread. They're really good against the spread.
They are. You just on paper they suck. Right? Like they have two good guys and everybody else kind of terrible. You know,
so, I mean, they're actually half a game up in the loss column versus the Lakers.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I don't know how. Is it just being willed by Gildas Alexander and Giddy here? Like,
I mean, like they have like it's just they have like decent rotational pieces that like the head coach just doesn't know how to use. Like Jalen Williams. Yeah, they need Dort. That's true. They need Dort back.
But anyways, Anthony Davis at 10-5, very much. Going to be in play here. And if you think he's going to be low rostered and Randall's going to be low rostered, they could be pivot spots here.
Jokic is the highest projected. And this is, we're recording at what time? So it
almost 1 o'clock.
Subject to change, obviously, depending on like news. But Jokic projected to be the third highest player of the slate. And Anthony Davis, for context, not even 10%.
I mean, good pivot. Dude, if AD goes for 70 or 65 tonight and Jokic only goes for 70 or 65.
Yeah, it's a win.
You know, even though it's not really hindering our roster building quite yet. But
I mean, we're going to just play Andre Drummond anyway, so.
I'm just kidding. So Vuga's 9K. 8-81. Claxton, 77. Claxton, 35 minutes last night. 46 fantasy points. Right now, you know, Ayton, not a great defender. Ayton himself coming off a monster game against Detroit, but Booker being back could have some mild impact there. But he's, I mean, he's looking like a guy that was a number one pick. So, I don't know. Where do you go after here? Like, where are we as we move down the list? Is there any mid-tier value centers that are off the page to you?
I mean, I don't hate Gobert. 6,800. He's been really good offensively, specifically. He got in foul trouble and got hurt in that Denver game. No, he didn't get hurt. Foul trouble and then the blowout. Mm-hmm. 18 minutes. I know there was no Jokic, but the offense has been up. We still are wondering. Walker Kessler just took his job in Utah and his block capital as well. Like, he can't block shots. I don't hate Gobert. I don't hate Capella. Just kind of a low floor or like a safe floor. I don't hate Wendell Carter either.
What do you think about Xavier Tillman here?
Yeah, and I think Xavier Tillman is going to be probably the whoever starts for Memphis at center.
If you had to pick one, Hartenstein or Xavier Tillman tonight?
Probably Tillman. I don't like the fact that he's – yeah, I don't love the one shot. I do, obviously, I think it's hard not to love the minutes lately.
And the rebounds, four straight.
Yeah, and the rebounds. Like, he fouls out of that game against Philly, no surprise, considering who was on the other side of the floor. But I do like the rebounds. I do like the minutes. Don't like the one shot. I think that's kind of an anomaly. Not that he's, like, a high-volume guy, but he is someone who – is good in pick and roll and is active on the offensive glass. I would lean Tillman. I like Hartenstein. I would play Valanciunas in a tournament. I would play Wendell Carter in a tournament. If Brandon Clark started, obviously, I think that's a good pivot. What do you think of – so Mo Wagner is going to be the backup center. I don't know. We could go there, I guess, Bamba's suspended for four games.
Sure. Only 4K though.
And then let me ask. So the Drummond thing is directly correlated to Caruso, I think.
Why?
Because that forces other guys into the rotation. They're also playing, like, they were using Derek Jones as the backup center.
Yeah.
And now they're using Derek Jones in a spot where, like, he's playing forward because there's no Caruso the last two games. So now Drummond's getting the backup. Derek Jones was the backup center.
Officially no Dinwiddie or DFS tonight.
Okay, so Cam Johnson, or I did it too. Cam Thomas, 95% owned.
Yeah.
I'm upping it. And now we're playing Edmund Sumner.
Yeah.
$4,100. Like, it's just... that officially opened up the Brooklyn value.
Yuta ruled out. We're getting all the information right now. Here we go.
Okay, so yeah, here's our live.
Yuta ruled out. No Dinwiddie, no DFS. I bet TJ Warren is about to be ruled out. I'm telling you, Kessler Edwards is probably going to be in the starting lineup tonight at 3K.
He might be.
You're going to be playing four Brooklyn Nets here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. It's only a matter of time for all this information to start coming out right now. So... which is, again, it's going to be interesting roster build here. You know, you might be able to get Randall and Davis.
Ben Simmons officially available. I'm looking at a Nets beat writer who's reporting all of it. They only reported Yuta, Dinwiddie, Finney Smith, Seth Curry, and KD. Those are the reported outs.
So Yuta was getting 20 minutes, like you said. Is that the Ben Simmons minutes? Is that like...
Could be. Yeah, it could be. It just, we don't know. There's no word on Simmons' role.
Right.
But if we do get word that he's not limited, I think the only way we could play Ben Simmons is if they told us he was not limited.
Sure.
Right? Because if they don't come out and say anything, stay away. It's such a stay away spot, and he might just play 18 minutes and go off the bench.
I got a pretty gross lineup here.
Okay, so you definitely use Sumner. You probably use Kessler Edwards because you talked about him, and then you probably like plugged in Jokic.
So I didn't use Kessler Edwards, but I obviously could.
No, let's not. Let's just, like, if he's starting, it's obviously a different conversation. But I don't know, like, Simmons coming back, like, it just feels a little.
So gross. This is the lineup that I got. And you let me know what you think about it. Obviously, there's some moving parts potentially still in play. But
obviously.
Point guard, we have Jalen Suggs. Shooting guard, we have Brandon Ingram. Small forward, we have DeAndre Hunter. We're all in on those three.
Yep.
At power forward, we have Julius Randle.
Okay.
At center, we have Anthony Davis.
Okay.
At guard, we have Cam Thomas. At forward, and this is where we can go different directions, I have Taurean Prince at $3,500. And then at util, I have Edmund Sumner at $4,100. I have $600 left over.
I mean, I'm not against the Prince play. We just don't know because we don't know what the status of Slo-Mo.
Correct.
If Slo-Mo's out, 100% down.
Like, Joe Harris played 28 minutes last night, had 20 fantasy points.
I'd rather play Sumner if that's. Is this your forward?
I'm talking about the forward spot. Yeah.
So $4,100 for the forward spot.
$4,100 forward. I mean, Jericho Sims is.
Nothing feels great. Nothing feels very good here.
Nope.
Except Taurean Prince, if Taurean Prince.
Right. But like I said, like, Joe Harris is at least getting the minutes. Danny Green played 20 minutes. The other 19 minutes.
I feel like the last back-to-back we saw Joe Harris, the last two back-to-backs we saw Joe Harris play, he played limited minutes on the second leg.
Yeah. Oh,
Jock Vaughn does that. You're right. And Jock Vaughn does that. Like, he just doesn't care. He'll play Drew Smith tonight.
What do we make of Troy Brown playing 31 minutes against the Pelicans?
I don't think we can get there. Austin Reeves coming back too.
True.
I think it's going to be a muddy situation.
Okay.
Look, I think there are obvious. This lineup is very good, dependent on RJ Barrett news, dependent on Kyle Anderson news.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if RJ Barrett's in, maybe we pivot down from Randall to like Jaren Jackson or something like that and save some cash and move up.
Jackson. Yep. I was thinking Jackson Bencaro range. That's exactly what I was thinking too.
Yep. I agree with you. I'm just thinking if he gets ruled out though, there's some nice upside potential. Double stacking Randall and Davis there.
Yep. Yep. Agreed.
That's what I'm rolling with now. Again, pivots to be had if necessary. I believe Ray Kuhn is on the playbook here today. And Will James and I, of course, are always in the Discord right up to the roster lock. You guys weren't though. Where were you last night? James and I were in there, giving you all the updates. We'll be around if you need us, and we'll be back for Wednesday. Good luck. We'll catch you guys later.